I remember when I was a teenager, and I went to a church that didn't believe that there was a future for the nation of Israel. They just felt like Israel rejected the Messiah and God judged them, and they were enemies of the gospel, and now the church took all the promises that went to Israel for the kingdom of God on earth, and they were spiritually interpreted. And I remember when I got into that, and I saw the nation of Israel in the land, and I remember realizing that this is real, the Word of God is real, the things I learned in Sunday school are real, and Israel is back in their land. And it really got me that we're living in the last days. And that's what was used to get my attention to the Bible. And I started reading the Bible and so forth. And my grandma would talk to me about that. And I got saved. And so tonight I'm seeing that there is what the Bible says. In the last days, everybody is going to turn against Israel. Every nation is going to turn against Israel. And I don't want America to turn against Israel, because I want God's blessing on America, and I want us to push back the enemy's timeline. But Satan really wants to bring in the end time, and he's ready to bring in his false kingdom. And you can just see it. You could just see it. We are living very close to the end time. And yet I'm praying for America, and I want America to do what's right. And I see, you know, the demon rat party's been taken over by devils, and they turned against Israel, except for John Fetterman. It's amazing. John Fetterman. I like John Fetterman. He's in the demon rat party, but he likes Israel. So I like John Fetterman for that reason. I'm for John Fetterman. But the party just... they just got taken over. I'll tell you why they got taken over. They didn't speak out against it. When these radicals, Islamists and left communists, they didn't speak out against it. And now it's starting it with Republicans. And they're turning against Israel. And I'm going to speak out against it. I'm sorry. Tucker Carlson, he said he'd withdraw this statement. But he said the thing that he hated more than anything else were Christian Zionists. Well, he said he withdrew that. He apologized for that because he got a lot of pressure. But I'm a Christian Zionist. You're looking at one right here. You're looking at one. And Ted Cruz is a Christian Zionist. And he gave an interview to Ted Cruz, and boy, did he ever go after him. How many heard that interview about Israel and all that? He went after Ted Cruz because of his Christian Zionism. And then Tucker Carlson interviewed Nick Fuentes, who is a Holocaust denier. He is pro-Hitler. And he gave him a softball interview. He didn't challenge him on anything. He just gave him a chance to share all his garbage. And then later on, Megyn Kelly was talking to Ben Shapiro. And she made the excuse for Tucker. Well, Tucker was just, he was interviewing this guy, and he didn't want to be too hard. He wanted to let him share what he believed. But he was just kind of trying to put a bumper around him by letting him express himself. And Ben Shapiro said, well, then why didn't he do that with the other guy? Ted Cruz. Why didn't you do that with Ted Cruz? Why not? Well, he was a politician, all baloney. I'm just saying that if it quacks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, it's a duck. And I'm with Ben Shapiro on this. I don't believe Tucker is doing what he used to do. And I'm a Christian Zionist. You say, what are you talking about, a Christian Zionist? Well, I believe that Israel as a nation is Zion, and the city of Jerusalem is Zion, and the Temple Mount is Zion, and that is where the Lord is going to rule over the entire earth. I'm talking about Zion. That's Mount Moriah. That's where Abraham, remember, he offered up Isaac, his son, and God made him promises when he offered up Isaac, his son. That was Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah, remember the threshing floor there that David bought? He said, I won't sacrifice to the Lord that which cost me nothing. And he paid for that threshing floor. That was Mount Zion. That was Mount Moriah. That was the Temple Mount. And it was right in Zion, outside the city walls of Jerusalem, that the Messiah of Israel offered himself for our sins, to pay for our eternal salvation. And that right there, outside of Jerusalem, I was there. I went there and I saw the empty tomb. That's where he arose from the dead, right there on Zion, my friends. And right from the Mount of Olives, he ascended back into heaven. Thank God for that. And when he comes back and he touches down on the earth, he's going to walk up on Mount of Olives. It's going to split, and he's going to hide his people, the Jewish people there, in there, and then God's going to pour out his final wrath and the bowl judgments upon the earth. And then he's going to come back and he is going to rule and reign from the temple that is going to be right on top of Mount Zion. And the new Jerusalem's going to come and be right around that, and we're going to rule with him. So I'm a Christian Zionist. I'm excited about these things. Satan is not. He wants to stop these things from happening. And by the way, when the Lord comes back 3 days after the end of the 70th week of Daniel, and in Hosea 6:2, all of Israel's going to be saved. Romans 11:25, they're all going to accept the Lord. They're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, this could happen in your lifetime. This could even happen in my lifetime. I'm praying for an extension, but I'm just telling you, I'm excited, and so what I want to talk to you about tonight. I love America, and I want America to have the blessing of God. And how many have heard people like Tucker say, I'm an America first person, therefore I don't like Israel that much. We're giving too much money to Israel, and to that I say, bah humbug. The best way to put America first is bless Israel. And I'm going to prove that tonight. I'm going to give you some stuff tonight on that. Now, I want to say three things about that tonight. Number one, God gives you the best foreign policy right here in the Word of God. And I want to turn to Genesis chapter 12 and look at verses 1 through 3, Genesis in chapter 12. And here is God's foreign policy for putting America first and getting the blessing of God upon the nation of America. You got your Bible, Genesis 12, and look at 1 through 3. It says, now the Lord, and that is capital L-O-R-D, had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. By the way, his father was Terah. He lived on the other side of the Euphrates River in modern-day Iraq, in the Ur of the Chaldees, and those people were idolaters. They were idolaters. And God said to Abraham, I want you to get out of there. I want you to worship me. And so get out of there. And he said, and I will make of thee, verse 2, look at this, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I'm going to show you that nation is the nation of Israel. He comes from Abraham, a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Isn't the name of Abram great? Abraham, great father. Oh, he's the father of many nations, and his name is great. Islamic people think he's great. Christian people think he's great. Us. And Jewish people think his name is great. He's got a great name. And it says in verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Listen, from Abraham is this great nation. If you bless the nation of Abraham, you'll be blessed. If you curse the people that come from Abraham, the nation that's a great nation, you will be cursed. I don't want to be on the bad side of God's blessing. And so that is the first thing that I want to say is America's foreign policy. We need to bless Israel. And I want to bless Israel. But I want you to look over at Genesis 15 now, verse 18. Go to Genesis 15 and verse number 18 there. And I want you to see what it says there in Genesis 15 and verse number 18 about the nation of Israel. It says, In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt. So that's a branch of the Nile River there down in the Sinai. Unto the great river, that's the river Euphrates. And he talks about the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and all the ites and the Rephims. And the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites and the Termites and all the ites. He said, I've given you that land. And God, you see, has given Israel that land of promise. And they're a people of the land. They're the earthly people. And they have that land that is their land. You know, you heard the song, this land is your land, this land is my land, from New York Island, and so forth. That land is a specific land given to the nation of Israel. Well, go to Genesis 21 now. I'm sorry. Let's go to Genesis 17, first of all, 7 and 8. Then we'll go to Genesis 21. 17 and 7 and 8, and I'll read those verses. And it says there in verse 7, I will establish my covenant between thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, look at that, verse 8, and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan. Look at this, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. How long is everlasting? Forever. So my church was wrong. When they said that, oh, we inherited the promises to Israel. No, it's everlasting. God has given the promised land to the Israelite people, to the Jewish people, and that is still going. Now, that was Abraham, but look at Genesis 21 now, 12 and 13. We looked at Abraham, so go to Genesis 21, 12 and 13. I'll read it, you follow. It says, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So Sarah said, no, you send away Ishmael, your son. He became the father of the Arab people. God said, no, I've chosen Isaac. And that's the seed of Abraham that I'm going to bless is going to be through your son Isaac. And it says, Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. So God is saying, okay, it's going to be Abraham's seed now through Isaac. But let me look at one more verse in Genesis. Go with me now. Let's look at two more verses. Go with me to Genesis 22, 16 through 18. Genesis 22, 16 through 18. And I will read it there, and you follow in your copy of God's Word. It says, "And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee." And he said he would be like the stars, and all the nations would be blessed in him. All right, now go to 35, verse 9. Genesis 35, because we looked at Abraham going to be blessed. His seed through Isaac is going to be blessed. And they're going to get an everlasting land and bless the whole earth. Now, Genesis 35, and go with me to verse number 9 of that chapter. I'll get it here and I'll read it. It says, "And God appeared unto Jacob again, when he had come out of Padan Aram, and blessed him." All right, that's 600 miles east of Israel. He went there to get his wife, and Rachel and Leah. "And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob." Verse 10, "Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but what? Israel shall be thy name." And he called his name Israel. All right. And then it says, "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham," look at this, "and Isaac to thee, I will give it to thy seed after thee, will I give the land." And so he said, the land that I promised Abraham, the land that I promised Isaac, and the blessing is going to go to Jacob, and Jacob's going to be called what? Israel. And so the great nation is coming out of there. Now you say, Pastor, why are you going through all this? Because people today like Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, that's another one. Boy, she's a Jew hater. And she's not, you know, why she hates the Jewish people? Because she married a guy named George Farmer. And George Farmer is a Catholic, a Roman Catholic. But you have to understand, he's a militant brand of Roman Catholics. He doesn't recognize the Pope. And he doesn't recognize the last Pope. He doesn't recognize the last Pope that George Farmer recognizes as a legitimate pope was the one that Hitler worked with, Pope Pius. You say, why does George Farmer like him? Because he is pro-Catholic, and he said the Catholic Church took over the promises to Israel because Israel crucified the Messiah. So therefore, the Catholic Church has taken over their promises. And these popes, since Hitler's pope, have been friendly toward Israel. Too friendly for him. And she married this George Farmer, and now she is taking on that belief, and therefore is anti-Israel. And every time she seems like she opens her mouth, almost she speaks out against the nation of Israel. So God gives you the best foreign policy. He says, a great nation's going to come from Abraham. That's the nation of Israel. Those that bless Israel are going to be blessed. Those that curse Israel. And that goes for nations. That goes for individuals. So I want our church to bless Israel. I want to bless Israel. I am a Christian Zionist. We see, number one, God gives you the best foreign policy. How do you put in America first? You get people like Ted Cruz that bless Israel, and they're for Israel. And we ought to give money to Israel. You say, why? Because they're developing weapons that we are using. the Patriot missiles and these missiles that they're developing these, and then America is producing these tremendous weapons. They're fighting nations like Iran. Tucker doesn't want us to fight Iran, but we bombed the nuclear sites. Thank God for that in Iran. And those weapons that they have, they're developing them so they can not only hit Europe, they can hit New York City, Washington, D.C., Florida, Mar-a-Lago. They're developing these weapons, and they're trying to redevelop their nuclear weapons. And they say they want to get rid of the little Satan, that's Israel, but they want to get rid of the great Satan, that's the United States. And so Israel is our ally in the Middle East. They're the only place that has legitimate elections over there and a democratic representative government. And so we ought to be friends with Israel. We ought to. And they're not asking us to put boots on the ground over there. They're not asking us to give our Americans. They're fighting battles and they're winning wars that help us over there. And so we ought to put America first, because God said that that's a way to bless your country, and God has blessed our country. And secondly, not only does God say this is your best foreign policy, but number two, God tells you that Israel is today the Israel of yesterday. How many have heard people like Tucker Carlson try to say to Ted Cruz, well, the nation of Israel today is not the old nation of Israel? How many have heard that? Boy, that's a devil. No, the nation of Israel today is the nation of Israel before. And I want you to look at some scripture on that. Look at Ezekiel 36, 17 through 19. We're looking at some verses. We got to prove these things because the devil is a liar. And so go to Ezekiel 36, 13 through 19. Let's look at that. Go to Ezekiel 36. Let me make sure I got it right there. I'm sorry, 17 through 19. 17 through 19. And here's what it says. God speaking. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. And so God's talking about the sin of the nation of Israel. Then he says in verse 18, wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. They had offered their children to idols. And then look what he says in verse 19, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to the way, according to their doings, I judged them. Okay? So that's the old nation of Israel, right? All right, now look what he says in verse 24 through 26, the same chapter. Let's see. He says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then, verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you. Now he's saying the old nation of Israel, the one that he scattered, is the one that he's going to bring back. And he's going to make of them a nation. They're going to come back in unbelief. And after that, God is going to give them a sprinkling, make them clean, and give them a new heart. Has that happened yet? No, that hasn't happened yet. But have they been regathered in unbelief? Yes, they have been. It's the same people that he scattered, that he's regathered, and they are now back in their land. Now go to Ezekiel 37. And Ezekiel said in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, verse 2, there were very, very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, verse 3, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know, a lot of people didn't believe Israel could ever become a nation again after he scattered them after the Roman captivity in AD 70. And this is what he's talking about. In verse 4, again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Dry, dead bones will live, scattered. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you. Sinews are just like muscle, and then flesh is skin. And he said, and ye shall live and ye shall know that I'm the Lord. By the way, the Jewish people have an awareness that they are the people of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Trump, when he spoke to them recently in their parliament, he said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they know who they are, and they know the ancient God who made a covenant with them. And then he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And that's what happened in the late 1800s as there was a move to have a homeland for the Jewish people. And then he said, and when I beheld, lo, the sin and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. What does that mean? They were not really alive spiritually. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, and say to the wind, thus saith, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. So they're going to come together in unbelief. They're going to become a nation. But God is going to make them alive, and he's going to save them. But even before that, they're going to know that they come from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this people, Israel, is the Old Testament people of Israel. And now they are back in their land, and they are a nation, even though they are in unbelief. So the best way for you to put America first is don't follow Tucker Carlson on this. Don't follow Candace Owens on this. Don't follow, certainly, Nick Fuentes, the Holocaust denier, you know, that hates Israel. And he says, I'm America first. No, you're America cursed, buddy. You're wicked, and you're going right down the line, and you're a mouthpiece for Satan. When people start talking like that, I hear the devil's mouth flapping. And I know it's the dragon, and I say, this is not a way to put America first. This is the way to curse America. God gives you the best foreign policy in Genesis 12. Bless Israel. God tells you today that the Israel today is the Israel of yesterday. And by the way, they have all the garments for the priest to have temple worship now in Israel. They have the very priest. You say, how do they know who were from the priestly tribe of Aaron? They do DNA testing, and they found out that the priest, and they've trained the priest, and they're ready now to offer sacrifices. They've got the furnishings of the temple, and as soon as the temple is rebuilt, these priests are going to serve because they know who they are by DNA testing. So God tells you that the Israel of today is still Israel. It's the same Israel. And number three, and lastly, God gives you the reasons for anti-Israel, anti-Zion hatred. You say, where does that come from? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to the last book in the Bible, now the book of Revelation. We went to Genesis, but now let's go to the book of Revelation and see why is there all this hatred of Israel. And look at verse 1. It says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Well, who is that woman? You go to Genesis 36. She has the sun and the moon. Joseph had a dream. The sun was the father of Jacob, and Joseph's mother was the wife of Jacob. That's the moon. And under her feet, 12 stars. That's the 12 children of Jacob or Israel. And so the Bible says that this woman is the nation of Israel. And then in verse 2 it says, and she being with child cried and travailing in birth in pain to be delivered. That's talking about the woman. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, who is the dragon? It's Satan. He started as a serpent. He's going to end as a dragon. And he hates the woman. Who's the woman? Israel. And what is she going to do? She's going to deliver a child. Who's the child? Jesus, the Messiah. And what is he doing? He's just waiting for that child to be born. He wants to kill that child. Why? Because he knows that that child born from Israel is going to rule the world. Amen. Who's been ruling the world? Satan. Ever since he got Adam to lose his kingdom, Satan is on. And he does not want Israel, you see, to bring forth the Messiah. And so it says, as soon as she had that child, he was ready to deal with that child. He's the one that took the stars, who are the angels that rebelled against God. And now they're following Satan. 1/3 of the angels are following Satan. Okay? So look at verse 5. It says, and she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's talking about the coming kingdom of our Lord. And her child was caught up unto God and his throne. What's that talking about? That's after his death, burial, and resurrection. He ascended back into heaven. All right, that's already happened. Now he's going to skip ahead 2,000 years, and it's in the future. Verse 6 says, and the woman fled unto the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there for 2,203 days. That's 1,260 days. That's talking about the second 3.5 years of the 7 years. Israel's going to have to run and hide because the beast is going to try to destroy her in Jerusalem, and she's going to have to run to the wilderness of southern Jordan today and hide in the rocks and the caves there of southern Jordan. And it says 3.5 years she's going to be there. And then verse 7 talks about there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. And then the dragon, it says, is going to be kicked out of heaven, and his angels kicked out of heaven. You say, is Satan still having access to heaven? Yes. He will not be kicked out until the middle of the 7 years, and that will begin the great tribulation on earth. And so that's talking about that, and the dragon is kicked out of there, and we're going to have to deal with that. And he talks about that. But we want to skip ahead a little bit and go to verse 13. It says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who's the woman?
Israel.
He's going to persecute the woman. Why? Because he knows when the woman, Israel, accepts their Messiah, the kingdom of God's going to come to the earth. He's going to be bound and put in the bottomless pit. He wants to kill every last Jew. By the way, he's been over seven heads. And that was the nations that persecuted Israel through history. Seven nations. And you know what the last one was? The Third Reich. Hitler tried to exterminate. And the Bible says that the eighth ruler is going to be one of the seven. And he's going to come back from the dead. And all the world's going to recognize. Who do you think that might be? The ruler of Egypt or Assyria? Or no, it was somebody that had a wound to the head with a military weapon, went into hell, and he's coming up out of hell. I'll tell you, I believe that could be Hitler. And he could be cloned. And he could come out of hell. And I'm just saying, the Bible says he's going to rule over, the entire world when he comes back, this beast. He's called the beast in Revelation 13. And the Bible says in verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. So could that be an airlift? I don't know. Could that eagle be America in the tribulation helping Israel? I don't know, but it would be great if it was. And the Bible says that the serpent cast out of his mouth, verse 15, a flood to try to swallow up the woman. That could be a flood of armies to try to pursue the woman. But she's going to run away and be saved in the wilderness in southern Jordan. And the earth helped the woman. And there was an earthquake and swallowed that army up. And the dragon was wroth. Look at verse 17. And he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. And so when he couldn't swallow the woman up, he's going to try to get the seed of the woman, which I believe are believers that believe in Israel's Messiah. And so we have here the great tribulation and Satan's attempt to get rid of Israel. That is the dragon. That's why this nation right now, only as big as the state of New Jersey, why it's so front and center, why people talk about it all the time, and we shouldn't be obsessed with Israel, they're saying. But I'm saying to you that Satan is obsessed with Israel. He wants to get rid of the nation of Israel because he knows that when they get saved, the kingdom of God is going to come to this earth. I want to just say something tonight. There are some dates that I have in the past, and it goes right up to the present, but I don't have time tonight to look at it. But I want to look at nine major acts of God that coincide with the timing of the U.S. pressuring Israel to give up land for peace. Don't do that. Now, I want to tell you, Donald Trump has been a great friend to Israel. But he has pressured them of late to make peace with these people that want to take over the promised land. And he did it in his first administration, even though he recognized Jerusalem. George Bush did it. Barack Obama did it. And I'm just telling you, this is something we need to pray for our president, that he gets the right counsel. Because I'm just looking back now at October 30th, 1991. President George W. Bush opens the Madrid conference, and I remember this, with an initiative for a Middle East peace plan. By the way, you're not going to have a Middle East peace until, first of all, Israel defeats all those enemies and takes their land, and then the King of Kings comes back. But anyway, this Madrid conference had an initiative, a Middle East peace plan involving Israel's land. On the same day that they opened this conference in Madrid, Spain, to have land for peace, On the same day, an extremely rare storm formed off the coast of Nova Scotia. It was eventually tagged the perfect storm. And a book and a movie were made about it. There were record-setting waves 100 feet high at sea that pounded our New England East Coast. I remember this. But do you know what was on that New England East Coast where those waves were pounding? Bush's Kenny Bunkport home. You think God was trying to say something to President Bush at that time? Well, that same conference, August 23rd, 1992, the Madrid conference, they moved it now to Washington, D.C. Not good. And the peace talks resumed again, lasting 4 days. You know what happened on the same day that they moved it to Washington, D.C.? Hurricane Andrew, which to that time was the worst national disaster ever to hit America, produced an estimated $30 billion in damage and left 180,000 homeless in Florida. Not good. Well, then in January 16, two years later, Bill Clinton was in the White House. He met with the Syrian president in Geneva, Switzerland, and they talk about a peace agreement that includes Israel giving up their promised land in the Golan Heights for peace with the Islamist Arab people. Well, less than 24 hours later, a powerful 6.9 earthquake rocked Southern California. This quake, centered in Northridge, was the second most destructive natural disaster to hit the United States behind Hurricane Andrew. Well, then, 3 years after that, March 1 to April 1997, the coming of the PLO chairman Yasser Arafat to America, invited by Bill Clinton. This guy, God was going to rebuke Clinton for this. And he wanted Israel to give away her land for peace. And the United States was hit with some of the worst tornadoes and flooding in U.S. history. The very day that Arafat lands in America, these powerful tornadoes devastate sections of the nation, ripping across Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee, Kentucky. Arafat's America also corresponds with the storms in the Dakotas, which result in the worst flooding of the century. In addition, weeks of major storms throughout the Midwest. Arafat finished his four-state tour and left the United States with these storms. It was a horrible time. January 21, now 1 year later, Benjamin Netanyahu meets with President Clinton at the White House. And guess what? Clinton turned a cold shoulder to Benjamin Netanyahu. You watch out with all these people attacking Benjamin Netanyahu. Satan doesn't like it because he's wanting to fight. And he's coldly received. Clinton and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright refuse even to have lunch with Benjamin Netanyahu. Guess what happened shortly after that? The Monica Lewinsky scandal broke into the mass media and began to occupy a major portion of Clinton's time. You don't want to mess with Israel. Well, here's another one. September 27 and 28, 1998, same year, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, she worked out the final details of an agreement in which Israel will give up 13% of Yesha. The same day Hurricane George slams into the Gulf Coast with 110 mile an hour winds and gusts up to 175 miles an hour. The hurricane hit the coast and stalled. And on September 28, Clinton met with Arafat and Netanyahu at the White House to finalize the land deal. Later, Arafat addresses the United Nations about declaring an independent Palestinian state right smack dab in the promised land. By May 1999, while Hurricane George pounds the Gulf Coast, causing $1 billion in damage, at the exact time Arafat departs the U.S., the storm begins to dissipate. This is just a history. It's gone right up to the present. I just don't have time to tell you. October 15 through 22, 1998, Yasser Arafat, Benjamin Netanyahu meet at the Y River Plantation in Maryland. I remember this very well, to continue the talks, which ended on September the 28th. The talks are scheduled to last 5 days. Now that would be, October 15th through the 22nd, 1998. They're scheduled to last 5 days with the focus on Israel giving up 13% of the land there, and the talks are extended and conclude on October 23rd. Well, on October 17th, awesome rains and tornadoes hit southern Texas. The San Antonio area is deluged with 20 inches of rain in one day. The rains and floods in Texas continue until October 22nd, then subside. The floods ravage 25% of Texas and leave over $1 billion damage. On October 21, Clinton declares this section of Texas a major disaster area. I'll give you just a couple more. May 3rd, 1999, this is the same day in Israel that Yasser Arafat is scheduled to declare a Palestinian state with Jerusalem as the capital. The declaration is postponed to December 1999. At the request of President Clinton, whose letter to Arafat encourages him for his aspiration for his own land in the middle of the promised land. He also writes that the Palestinians have a right to determine their own future on their own land in the promised land of Israel, and that they deserve to live free today, tomorrow, and forever. By the way, I did not like it when J.D. Vance said when Israel's parliament wanted to annex the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria, he said that was stupid. That was stupid of J.D. Vance to say that, the vice president. And that same day, starting at 4:47 p.m. Central Daylight Time, the most powerful tornado storm system ever to hit the United States swept across Oklahoma and Kansas. The winds are clocked at 316 miles per hour, the fastest wind speed ever recorded. That's when Yasser Arafat was going to declare a Palestinian state in the promised land. See, God is fighting against this. I'll tell you what we need to pray for is Israel to fight and win the wars against them and claim their promised land. October 29, 2005, exactly 1 week after Prime Minister Ariel Sharon completed the forcible eviction of Jewish settlers from the Gaza Strip, Hurricane Katrina struck the states of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama with a destructive and catastrophic force. 80%, how many remember this, of the entire city of New Orleans was left underwater. Do you remember that? Katrina, the city of New Orleans, 80%. Many weather experts called this the worst hurricane and natural disaster that ever hit the country. President George W. Bush supported Sharon's evacuation from Gaza. Sharon, I'm sorry, his evacuation from Gaza. He started evacuating Jewish settlers from Gaza. And in April 2005, Bush and Sharon met in Crawford, Texas, where Bush praised Sharon for his strong visionary leadership. I remember when Sharon was hit with some kind of a brain thing after that, and he went into a coma. God did not like it. A great general, but he gave up land for peace. I strongly support, Bush said, his courageous initiative to disengage from Gaza and part of the West Bank. He said, referring to the withdrawal of more than 8,000 Jewish settlers from Gaza. And we don't want Jewish settlers to get out of their land. It's a bad thing. I'm saying the best way for you to put America first is, number one, look at God's foreign policy, which is to bless the nation of Israel. Number two, God tells you that the Israel of today is the same Israel of the past, Ezekiel 36 and 37. And number three, God gives you reasons for anti-Israel and anti-Zion hatred. It's in Revelation 12. It's a battle between God and Satan, and Satan wants to kill the Jews off so he can keep the world under his power. But it's not going to work. God is going to win. So let's side with the winning team. Amen. All right, let's bow for prayer. I'm going to ask tonight that you be a Christian Zionist.